on Sunday mornings, we're in a series, chapter 3. Let me tell you a little bit about Daniel chapter 3 real quick. In Daniel chapter 1, you're in chapter 3, but let me catch you up from Daniel 1 to chapter 3. The armies of the enemies, the Babylonians. Now, by the way, there's an outline on the back of your bulletin if you'd like to follow along today. We do that every now and then. But the armies, which are the enemies of the Babylonians, they invade and conquer the area of Jerusalem. They come in there overnight. They come in there overpowering. They came over there with manpower, and they come into Jerusalem. Don't miss it. The enemies come into Jerusalem, and they kidnap and they take captive these three young Hebrew boys that we're going to be talking about this morning. They took many more, but these are the three main characters that were taken. They took them against their will. They held them as POWs. They were MIA from Jerusalem. From Jerusalem to Babylon is 500 miles. They're kidnapped. They're snatched. They're pulled away from their families. Bible scholars tell us these three boys are 15 years of age. And they're stolen. They're taken. They're kidnapped. And they're taken against their will 500 miles away to Babylon. Now they're slaves. They're in custody of the Babylonian government. Their names will be changed. Their diets will be changed. Their language will be changed. They're 15 years old. And they're exposed, as 15-year-olds, they're exposed to new culture. They're exposed to new customs, which are 100% opposite from the first 15 years of their life that they know, they learn, they understand. I'm painting the picture because sometimes we get right to the message and we don't even know about how they got there, what happened, who they were, what they knew, what they didn't know. And so I want you to understand that these three young men we're going to talk about today were taken as teenagers against their will, taken away from their families 500 miles away, and everything, I mean everything, was changed for them. I want you to think about their lives. Their lives are turned upside down. Nothing they did. Their lives are turned upside down. And instead of having a pity party, and instead of just pouting and sucking their thumb and simply sulking all around, complaining and blaming, you know what they did? They stayed on their side of the verse, in all thy ways acknowledge him. They stayed on their side of the fence, their side of the verse, their side of the promise, and they just acknowledged the God of gods, Jehovah God. They acknowledged him in that adversity, that hardship, that crises, that situation, they just simply acknowledged God. During the tough times, the rough circumstances, no doubt unfair treatment, can you imagine? They have the right spirit. They know that God's in control, and if they'll do their part, that he will direct their path. It's a promise. And then that's in chapter 1, all that took place of the kidnapping. And then in chapter 2, they have showed themselves to be civil. They showed themselves to obey authority. They showed themselves to be outstanding young men. And the Bible says in chapter 2 that these three men were promoted over the affairs of the Babylonians. Now, it's not good to be a slave. It's not good to be a POW. It's not good to be missing in action. It's not good to be taken 500 miles away from your homeland. But if you're going to be in that situation, then God simply allows the enemy to see something in you, and he promotes you over the affairs of the enemies of the people that you really don't know. I mean, that's God working. That was what God was doing. That's what God does. God's good. When the situation looked bleak, when the situation looked wrong, when the situation looked hopeless, when the situation looked cruel, look who's in charge now. I don't know what you're going through, what you might have gone through, what you might go through tomorrow or in the future. I'm here to tell you that, hey, there's a God in heaven, and the same God in heaven that promoted these young men in a position that was amazing, incredible, impossible, God did what God did, and God can do it today in 2022. Now we're in Daniel chapter 3, verse 1. These are familiar verses. Let me read them to you. You can follow along. Daniel chapter 3, verse Number one, as we get into the crust of the story, Nebuchadnezzar, the king made an image of gold whose height was 70 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set it up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, gathered together the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image which Nebuchadnezzar, the king, had set up. Then the princes, the governors, the captains, the judges, the treasurers, the counselors, the sheriffs, and all the rulers of the provinces were gathered together into the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar, the king, and set up, and they stood before the image of Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then a herald cried aloud, "To you it is commanded, O people, nations, and all languages, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up." Verse 6, don't miss it. "And whosoever falleth not down, and whosoever does not worship, till the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace." King Nebuchadnezzar, he builds a statue 90 foot tall. Just so that we understand, and Sprattle understandings, that's 9 stories tall. The Bible gives us some measurements there. It says 70 cubits tall. 70 is 60. A cubit, according to Bible scholars, is 18 inches. That's 90 feet, 90 feet statue of gold. 9 stories high. Babylon is flat. It was no doubt put up on a platform, pedestal. And so I say all that to say that you could see this statue from a long ways in every direction away on purpose. It was to be seen. It was to be known. It was to be worshipped. It's commanded. It's a universal decree from the most powerful voice in Babylon, the king himself. It was a law that was non-negotiable. Think about it. And we saw it in verse 5, the moment you hear with your ears and you hear music that begins to play, wherever you're at, whatever you're doing, stop it. Fall down where you are, bow down where you are, and worship the golden image where you are. That was the command, the law, the word, the mandate coming from the top. And the penalty for not doing so, verse 6, whosoever don't do this, you're immediately going to be thrown into a fiery furnace. Now, the culture of that day, Babylonian, in Babylon, it consisted in incinerators, death ovens, torture chambers, you might call them. Bible historians tell us that smoke and the smell of these incinerators were constantly there. People knew about fiery furnaces. We don't know about so much in America. But in Babylon, they knew it. They smelt it. They saw it with their eyes, the smoke billowing up day and night. And the king just put a mandate, a law, his word, that, hey, if you don't bow down, the penalty is this. Immediately, you're going to be thrown into these incinerators. The law was given. The penalty is remember, the verse says we're to stay on our side of the fence, our side of the wall, our part of the verse, our part of the promise. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. The first thing I want you to notice about the story, number one, is they stood up. In verse 12, the Bible says that someone kind of ratted on them and said, "Certain Jews which have not regarded thee." So let me get the picture here. The music begins to play. Bible scholar says there's 300,000 Babylonians that hit the ground on their knees in a posture of
worship.
300,000. They're following the law of the king, the word of the king, the voice of the king, and they're worshiping this golden 90-foot statue image. Oh, there was three guys that didn't do it. There was these three Hebrew boys who had already been promoted into high positions, but they decided not to follow the king's law. They decided in a foreign land, they decided on foreign ground, they decided in a culture that simply follows up what they say about that fiery oven, that fiery furnace, they decided that, hey, our God says we can't do that. See, they follow, don't miss it, they followed the law of the land until the law of the land didn't follow the law of God. That'd be good advice for us today. The Bible says in Exodus 20, here's what they knew. It was only 15 when they got kidnapped, but at 15 they already knew this verse because all Israelites knew it, all Hebrews knew it. In Exodus 20, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them nor serve them. These three young men, these three young boys, knew what they believed, and they believed what they knew. They had strong convictions. They wasn't ashamed to take a stand. They stood up in a crisis. They stood up in a situation of decision. They stood up when it wasn't in their interest where they were. Here's three guys that stood up. This past week, last week, here in our great country called America, just this past week, the Supreme Court of the United States, the highest court in our land, they're reviewing and discussing a case about a high school coach from Washington State who was a high school coach, and after the games, he would go to the 50-yard line midfield and he would pray. And students and parents began to join him at the 50-yard line. He didn't ask them. He didn't recruit them. He didn't campaign for them to do it. The coach himself, a Christian, would, after the game, go to the 50-yard line and pray. And the schools got all riled up about it. When they called him in the office, the coach said, well, that's my conviction. I'm a Christian. And I'm just practicing free speech. And the school said, well, what you don't know, you're an employee of ours, and what you don't know is that we have a rule on campus for employees that there can be no demonstrations of religious activity. And they fired him because the next game, after the game, he went to the 50-yard line and prayed. They fired him, and the court's taking it up last week. It'll be interesting to see what happens, because there'll be a precedent set, which the precedent has already been set, but sometimes they were overruled, and so the bottom line is he took a stand. He stood up. He stood up like these three boys stood up. When what you're standing up for has a lot to do, they're going to get thrown in the fiery furnace. He has a good chance of being fired and never hired again. And he stood up for convictions. He stood up for what was right. He stood up for what he believed. May I ask you, are you staying then? Number one, they stood up. Number two, they stood out. Verse 8 says, it's interesting, but it says in verse 8, wherefore at the time the certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. In other words, they're saying that the King Nebuchadnezzar had some uppity-up higher-ups, some astrologers, and he had those guys come and watch the crowd, span the crowd, look at the crowd, and if anybody don't stand up, report them. Lo and behold, the secret police of Nebuchadnezzar made a beeline to King Neb. Your Highness, who Lord live forever. You've issued a decree, a law, your word has been said and known, yet you got these three Jews, these outsiders, these foreigners, you got them three boys named Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they paid no attention to you. They've not listened and obeyed your law.
They think they're above your regulations and your requirements. Now, the cultural background inside, these were astrologers, these secret police. And they're mad anyway, and they're upset that for 16 years, they were forced to kowtow to authority of these outsiders. They're mad because God allowed King Nebuchadnezzar to promote them, and now they're over them, the affairs of the Babylons, and the astrologers are mad, so they're looking for something. They don't mind being a tattletale. They don't mind being a rat, a narc. They don't mind that. And so they've already got to be in their bonnet. They've already got they're upset, and so now it's their chance to get even. It's now their chance to bring these three boys down, get rid of them once and for all. That's what we see here right in Scripture. They stood out. Not only did they stand up, but they stood out. You see, when you stand out in a crowd, when you stand out against something that's moral, when you stand out for a biblical religious conviction, people notice. They notice these three boys are doing what no one else is doing in a foreign land with different customs and different cultures and with a death penalty put on them if they do. They stood out. Let me ask you, church, are you taking a stand where you live, where you work, in your family? Or do you compromise? Are you a person of convictions, or you just want to get along? You don't ruffle feathers. You don't want to make anybody mad. You don't want anybody to misunderstand you. Look at verse 13, what happens, because this is exactly what's going to happen. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, and they brought them before the king. Hey, the gloves are off. When king said something, their word mattered. You didn't negotiate. You didn't get favoritism. You was no pet to them. And lo and behold, the gloves are off. He says, bring those three men to my office. They got called to the principal's office, the main guy. These guys are fixing to face the king. Verse 14, King Neb, who had promoted these men point blank, is it true? I've been hearing things rumble. I've been hearing some rumors. I've been hearing some hearsay. Is it true? In other words, he'd given them a chance to back out. He'd given them a chance to make an excuse. He simply said, is it true? Do you not understand where you are, he's saying? Have you not understood the law that was set in place? Do you understand that you're to obey the law when it comes from me? And when you don't, do you understand the consequences? Hey, put yourself in their shoes today. What would you do? I mean, after all, you've been kidnapped. You didn't go there on purpose. You went on an adventure. You're just not a wild hair and decided, I want to see the world, and you just ended up in a bad situation. You was kidnapped against your will. You was taken 500 miles away. Hey, you was snatched from your family. Hey, your name was changed. Your diet was changed. Your fashions were changed. Hey, your language is changed. Hey, and all of a sudden, you can make so many excuses. Oh, yeah, it's not my culture. King, we're sorry. That's not our culture. God knows my heart. I want to do what's right. I just wasn't sure if I should do it. King says, you know what you're doing. They're on the hot seat. April the 20th, 1999. You probably don't remember where you were when you heard about Columbine High School right outside Denver, Colorado. Early morning at school that day, two teenagers, 18-year-old, come into school with assault rifles, automatic rifles. Within 20 minutes, they had killed 12 people. The news just went across the news networks like crazy. I remember that. How horrible, how tragic. In our country, kids can do that to other kids. Kids can do that to kids they know. Kids can do that in schools they go to. Kids can do that. Earlier this year, my wife's a sub-teacher at Pacola High School. She says, hey, Dottie, she says, we've got the brother of one of the people at Columbine. His sister got killed in that attack. He's coming to Pecola High School, and I want you to come and hear him and meet him. So I had the privilege of going to Pecola High School earlier this year to meet and hear his presentation to students, the whole student body. I was amazed. He's talking about his sister. Here's what he said. He said, I don't know if anybody knows the real story. But he began to walk us through what happened. That he was a student there that day himself. And he said these bullies were walking through the halls of the school, threatening and being bullies. When he said, my sister, 15 years old, the same age as these boys was when they got kidnapped. My sister, 15 years old, under a desk, was heard saying, Lord, help us. And one of those bullies said, hey, who said that? And finally, they found out the very desk where it came from. They pulled her out. 15-year-old young girl, shaken, fearful, scared for her life. They pulled her out and they said, hey, did you say that? Did you say, Lord, help us? She said, yes, I did. She said, do you believe in God? She said, yes, I do. He put a gun to her head and said, go meet him. Let me ask you, would you take a stand? That's what these guys did. That's what she did. See, you and I can read the story. We already know the end of the story. But what would you do? Would you stand up? And would you stand out? I'm going to ask myself the same question. Would you stand up? And would you stand out? You see, in all thy ways, acknowledge him. We're just acknowledging him in good times and bad times. We're supposed to acknowledge him when we're on the high mountain or we're in the low valley. Our job is to trust him, believe in him, and just depend on him. That's our job. That's what they're doing. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. That's what she did at Calvary. What would we do? These boys had their minds made up is what they did. They had already established their convictions in what they would do. They'd already purposed in their hearts, the Bible said, that we're going to do right. And that's what we're missing. And just make up your mind. Know what you know what you believe, why you believe it, and take a stand. The king says, is it true? Is it true you didn't believe my decree? Is it true that you didn't understand the penalty of the fiery furnace? They stood up. Number one. Number two, they stood out. But number three, they stood on. Look at verse 17. They stood on. Here's what they said to him. I love these verses. I love these verses. If it be so, you're talking right to the king. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And if he will deliver us out of thy hand, O Lord. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. You can't get no more crystal clear, no more plainer, no more vanilla than that. I mean, it is straightforward stuff. Hey, our king. Hey, king, let me just tell you, sir. Let me just tell you about our God. He's able. He's able to deliver us. Now, we don't know that he will. But whether he will or not, that's up to him. We're going to stay on our side of the fence, our side of the promise, our side of the verse, because we're going to acknowledge him. We're acknowledging him. He's able. He might not do it, but just you bear it down. You mark it down. You just understand it. We're not bowing down to a false god. We're not going to bow down to your image. We're not going to bow down to a golden idol. We're not going to. They stood on the word of God. That's faith. That's in God I trust faith demonstrated. Hey, it says he will deliver us out of thy hand, but if he don't, what incredible faith. Their back's against the wall, man. They can almost smell the smoke. They probably can. They can probably feel the flames. And incredible faith. These young boys, they said, hey, our God's able. He might not. But if he does or don't, we're serving him no matter what. And take that, king. And the Bible says, the king is mad at those words. Verse 19. The Bible says his countenance changes. His face consorts. I mean, you can just see the change in the facial expression. And he commands those young men to be thrown into those flames. men he liked, men he promoted, men he was, he simply was dependent on to a degree, but he turned on them because he's the king and they didn't do what he did. You know what God's looking for in 2022? Let me just tell you, you know what kind of people he's looking for? He's just looking for someone, that's a male or a female. He's looking for somebody that's old or young. He's looking for somebody like you or me. He's looking for somebody to be real, to simply take a firm stand in a world of 2022 that's upside down. Hey, do things by the rules, no shortcuts. Do things right, no cutting corners. Do things by the word of God. It may very well cost us, but God will reward us. Egypt, Diaries. In God I trust. When you trust him, he taps in and he directs our paths.
Amen.
We're supposed to serve him. In 2022, our God's able to reconcile by broken marriages. God can do it. In 2022, God simply can heal diseased bodies, can forgive our darkest sin, can liberate from addiction, can open the hard shell heart, can save the uttermost. I mean, that's the God we serve. He can do it. We gotta simply just let him do it. They stood up. They heat the furnace up 7 times hotter than it had ever been heated. The men that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they opened the oven doors, it was so hot the warmth came out and they died of heat exhaustion because of that. I mean, they heated it up as hot as it could get. These Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are fully clothed. They're thrown into that fiery furnace, that death chamber, that torture chamber. As the king is waiting for the screams of pain and the repentance, get us out of here. As he's waiting to hear them cough their heads off with smoke inhalation. As he's trying to listen real close to their death screeches. He doubted. They stood on God's promise. The last thing we'll say is they stood with. Look at verse 24 and 25. You don't ever hear any of that. Verse 24, then Nebuchadnezzar, the king was astonished as he rose to haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did we not cast 3 men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered, O king, true. And he answered, and lo, I see 4 men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and have no hurt, and the form of the 4th is in the form of the Son of God. He looks in that glass oven door, apparently. How many did we throw in? 3, Your Highness? Well, let me see. There's the 1, 2, 3. You threw how many? 3? There's 4. There's 4 in there. And that 4th man looks like the Son of God. These boys have no hurt. These boys have no burns. These boys have no smoke on their cells, their bodies are the clothes. I love when historians write. I love it when there's good news at the bottom. I love it when there's a happy ending like it is here. Hey, God showed up. Pre-incarnation of the Lord Jesus himself. They were not alone. His word is true. You can depend on the Bible. The Bible comes through over and over. In Hebrews, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You go through a fiery furnace. You go through a fiery trial. You go through something. Hey, I'm just telling you, this is scripture. I'm not dissecting it, twisting it, turning it, making it say what I want to say. It's not a Baptist word. It's the Bible. And the Bible says that in the moment of heat, in the moment when it looked like it was said and done, God showed up and God was with them and God captured them and God rescued them because of what they did. Sometimes God saves us from the furnace. And the furnaces of life. Whatever you're going through, there's a God in heaven. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. But you've got to stay on your side of the promise and the verse. You've got to stay on your side of what you're supposed to do. In all thy ways, acknowledge him and let him direct your paths. Now, real quick, give me a couple minutes, we'll be done. King commands them to be free and released from the fiery furnace, verse 28. And then the king praises and blesses and brags, not on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, but he brags and uplifts and praises their God that he saw in there. He's in awe of Jehovah God. And then verse 29, he issues a new decree, a new law, a new mandate. concerning Jehovah God. And then he promotes them yet again. He promotes Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He promotes them again. Wow, what a story. What a way to end. The enemy converted. The enemy saw God, Jehovah God. The enemy simply decided, hey, they're worth using. They're worth having on my team. They're worth helping all Babylonians. Now, many believers, they say they have faith. But a lot of people that say they have faith have if faith, if faith. If you heal me from this, I will serve you. If you give me that promotion, I will serve you. If you give me a good diagnosis, I will serve you. And if, Lord, if you'll just provide for my family this week or this month and we're able to pay our bill, then I will serve you. If. Hey, I'm just saying, church, if there's an if in your faith, it's not real. You got to have agent faith. In God, I trust faith. Let him do what he does. He's faithful. And we just sang the song, his faithfulness. He's always faithful. He's never not faithful. He can't be unfaithful. He's always there for you and me. You can, that's a give me. That's it. That's for sure. That's in stone. That's in concrete. The secret sauce is us staying on our side, us doing our part, us trusting in our faith. If you've got just mustard seed faith, that's all you need. If you just got a measure of faith, that's all you need. God's not looking for people who have the most faith. He's looking for someone who has faith. Just like these boys had it, God came through. He was with them. He walked with them through the fiery furnace. He'll do the same for you. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Idiot faith. What an amazing gift God has given us in this thing called faith. And God wants you to tap into your faith, and me tap into my faith. God wants to bless you, and God wants to bless me, and God wants to bless Spratt and Baptist Church. God wants to bless us. I trust you, Lord. Heavenly Father, we love you. Father, we thank you for your word today. We thank you for these men that stood up and stood out and stood on and stood with us. We thank you, Father, for the Bible. And most of all, we thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. And Father, we pray today to speak to hearts. Someone needs to make a decision for you. Lord, give them the will to stand up. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand. Join Reuben singing with us today. We can help you come this morning.
Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus.
I love you.
Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. We need a friend that's alone. Such a friend or brother, tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend and alone. Hear no other, such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall be tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Jesus alone.
Thank you so much, Jesus.